Juliet Dogcast Radio. If you like dogs, wherever you are in the world, we're the show for you. Hello and welcome to episode 284 of Dogcast Radio, which is me talking about dogs. I'll be bringing you dog news stories which caught my eye and giving you my verdict on doggy dilemmas from Reddit AITA and Mumsnet AIBU. Let's start with a couple of fun news stories which both involve beds. In one, an influencer is lying on a sunbed, and in the other, a writer is lying on a dog bed. Let's start with the sunbed. The influencer in question is Isabel Klee, who lives in Brooklyn with her epileptic rescue dog and his foster brother. You can follow their adventures at SimonSits on Instagram. And I found this story via ParadePets.com. Isabel and her fiancé visited the Bachelor in Paradise resort in Mexico, Playa Escondida, I hope I said that right, where they met a gorgeous French bulldog who belongs to one of the local lifeguards. The dog, Coco, apparently also takes on lifeguarding responsibilities, although I suspect he takes his role of cuddling up to tourists on the beach more seriously than his lifeguarding role. Anyway, it's a light-hearted, fun story which I hope makes you smile. It caught my eye because dogs can be such effective lifeguards. But the breed that springs to mind is Newfoundland. I hadn't come across a French bulldog lifeguard before. Anyway, it amused me. Now on to a story which defines the very crux of investigative journalism. Will a dog bed for humans improve my life? This is what we want. Let the finance markets rise and fall. Let whoever date whomever in Hollywood. We want to know whether a man sharing a huge dog bed with his dogs slept better than when he sleeps in his own bed. The man in question is Tim Dowling, writing in TheGuardian.com. And the dog's names are Small Dog and Large Dog, though I suspect those names have been changed to protect pooch privacy. And why not? There are some very sweet photos of Tim and his dogs cuddle up on the dog bed. So, who sleeps well? No spoilers, but two of the three fall fast asleep first and one is left musing. I'll leave you to make your own deductions and conclusions. Again, all those links are at dogcastradio.com. If you spot a dog story you think Dogcast Radio listeners would enjoy, do tag me in or email me. Now, let's push on to the problem portion of the podcast and let's dive in at the deep end. The first problem is from the Reddit AITA forum and it's AITA for checking my husband's dashcam footage on his car without his consent. I, 34F, live with my husband, 37M, and daughter, 7F. My daughter and I recently went on a short trip out of state while my husband stayed as he had work and was supposed to look after our dog. On the last day of our trip, we got a call from my husband, who was acting distraught and said that our dog, Ellie, had run away and that he could not find her. He claimed she just bolted away from him in the park, into some bushes, and he could not find her. Our dog is quite small, a mini poodle mix, and almost 13 years old. She is still active, but it is really unlike her to run away from us, and I was suspicious, but chose to believe my husband, and me and my daughter were in grief, but did not want to blame him. When we came back home, he seemed surprisingly okay, unlike us. Ever since the pandemic, my husband started working from home, and he has always been annoyed at how much attention we gave Ellie and hated how Ellie begged to sit on our laps and his while he worked. A few days later, we got a call from an animal rescue in a neighbouring state, quite far from us, that she had been found. I picked the phone up, and it was on our landline, which we almost never use these days, but was the contact on the microchip. I told my husband, and he just said, "That is great, I'm so happy," but it felt kind of blunt and insecure. I said, "It is strange that she'd got so far," and he responded that someone must have stolen her and then abandoned her. This made little sense to me as why this would happen. When he was out drinking with his buddies, I copied the videos from his dash cam for the days I was away, and saw that he had indeed taken Ellie far out of state and clearly dropped her in front of his car, thrown a frisbee-like object into a field, yelled fetch, and drove off without her. I was livid and confronted him, and he just stupidly muttered how he dropped her there so she could find a farm and have a better life, and then the next day got really angry at me for viewing his dash cam and called me and my daughter, edited to say rude names. Wow, okay, here's my verdict. My first reaction was speechlessness, which wasn't terribly helpful, to be honest, but I just thought, what can I say? And then my second reaction was, what can I say that's broadcastable? As with a lot of stories like this, the real problem, I fear, is nothing to do with the dog, although, sadly, it impacts on the dog. So the poster here, who calls herself Lying Wife Dog, which I'll shorten to wife, already had suspicions when she checked the dashcam video footage, and I cannot imagine the absolute horror and betrayal and, to be honest, rage that must have flooded her. I would probably have spontaneously combusted in her place. This is an appalling way to treat a dog or any animal, not to mention an appalling way to treat your partner and child. Delving into the comments section, the wife took the dog to her parents, and the husband was angry about that too and claimed he still deserved trust and he did it for the dog's own good. I feel really sad for everyone involved here, even the husband, to be honest, because he must have been very unhappy with having the dog all those years, I assume. I mean, I'm most sorry for the dog, and thank goodness she avoided injury on the road or from wild animals or people, because she definitely deserved better treatment at any age, but especially after 13 years with that family. I'm sorry for the wife that she can't trust her husband, and for their poor daughter who's been given a rotten example of what marriage is. In conclusion, I would say to the poster, you are definitely not in the wrong for checking the video footage, and furthermore, I would advise keeping the dog, losing the husband, and getting some good legal representation to ensure you and your child are kept safe from this man. There is nothing truer in this world than the love of a good dog. Myra Grant. This dilemma is from Mumsnet AIBU, and it's a tricky one, to be honest, so here goes. Let's unleash it. It's titled, It's a Dog One, Who Was Being Unreasonable? And it's posted by someone called, Oh Help, I Can't Think of a Name, which I love. Here's the post. So I own a friendly, if slightly mad, medium-sized dog. Today we were out on a walk and was heading back up a footpath with a stream to the side. Most people have their dogs off the lead along this path. It's nothing unusual. So I'm walking up the path and my dog is a little way ahead. A child, approximately 20 plus metres away, sees my dog, screams and runs back to his mum. The child is probably 7 to 9 years old. I call my dog back so she's near me. A man who was with them, and I think a friend rather than the child's father, comes up to me and says, that child is scared of dogs. I reply, okay, well, my dog likes kids, but I'll take her over there. And walked over to where the stream was and threw her ball in so she would just play and ignore them as they walked by. The man gave me the filthiest look and muttered some choice things about me under his breath. To my mind, it's better for a child with a fear of dogs to see a dog at a safe distance minding its own business, rather than me panicking and rushing to put it back on the lead, making it seem like there really is something to fear. My dog has good recall, and I trusted her not to cause an issue. Also, at that child's age, I would have thought some exposure to dogs to try and address what is clearly quite a serious fear would be a good thing, rather than feeding into it by trying to ensure he doesn't encounter any dogs. So, was I unreasonable for not putting my dog straight back on the lead? And was the man justified for his glaring and muttered insults? Or is it fine to keep her off the lead, occupied and at a safe distance? The kid passed by without incidents, by the way. If I thought my dog would actually have done anything, she would have been on the lead. See what I mean? It's tricky, isn't it? Seeing things from the dog owner's point of view, they know their dog is friendly and wouldn't harm the child and has a good recall anyway. And they took the dog to the side and occupied them, so I think they've done the right thing. Now, I probably would have popped my dog on the lead, just to show willing, right up until the point the man started muttering things. That would probably have made me pause and say, did you have something to say? Adding in my head, speak up or shut up. If I knew my dog really had good recall, I would have walked to the side as the poster here did. But let's forget the adults. If I think about this from the child's point of view, I think maybe the dog should have been put on a lead briefly to give the child peace of mind. It would only have been for a few seconds, and then the dog's fun can carry on. I'm not scared of dogs, but I am scared of, for example, bees, wasps and spiders. And actually, I'd be quite agitated if I thought a horse or cow was likely to run up to me on a walk, however friendly they might be. I'm thinking there of the relative size of a dog to a child and picking an animal sort of the same size in comparison to me. So, you know, the last thing we want to do here is worsen the child's fear of dogs. So maybe it's better not to escalate the situation, but to be the bigger person and pop the dog on a lead. I might well have asked if the child wanted to come and say hello to the dog, if I asked the dog to lie down and be calm, and I might suggest some websites for the adults to go and have a look at to help them support the child. A quick funny story. I was in the park with Mischief and Diamond the other day, and quite a small child, maybe about 4 years old, wanted to interact with the dogs. He was a little bit wary of Diamond, as she's lively and skittering around and sniffing his legs. Mischief was much calmer and slightly aloof. Diamond jumped up the child's leg and I told her to sit down. I glanced at the adult with the child, who smiled and said they have a dog and the boy was okay. The child confirmed this by pointing to Mischief and saying, "Can you make this one jump up me?" We had a chat about the ages of the dogs and why they were behaving as they were, and we carried on our ways happily. But I guess it's all about meeting people where they are and ensuring everyone is comfortable, isn't it? So to drag ourselves back to the dilemma posed here, I don't think the dog owner was being unreasonable, and I do think the man with the child could have been more reasonable. So what's your take? A dog will teach you unconditional love. If you can have that in your life, things won't be too bad. Robert Wagner. Another one from Mumsnet, AIBU now. AIBU to get a dog. Posted by The Answer Is T. I have always wanted a dog since I was a kid. My parents grew up with dogs, but I wasn't allowed one because of the time commitment, etc. Then I started my career, and due to long hours, it wouldn't have been fair to get a dog. I'm now in my mid-30s, have young children, and due to childcare costs, I will not be going back to my job. Silver lining, I'm finally in a position to give the time and effort to properly look after a dog. Yay! But I have just found out my sister-in-law can't be around dogs. She has asthma, and apparently the last time she was around a dog for a few hours, later that evening she ended up in hospital with an asthma attack. We see my sister-in-law every week, and she helps look after our kids with her parents. It's an ad hoc arrangement, sometimes at their house, brackets, sister-in-law lives with her parents, and sometimes at ours. My dear husband has always talked about getting a dog, so I was surprised when her history with dogs came up in conversation. He'd never said it was going to be an issue. I don't know what all the implications are if we do get a dog. Would sister-in-law not be able to come to the house? I really want my kids to grow up with the benefits of having a dog, learning responsibility, the daily exercise and fresh air, and just the sheer joy and companionship of a dog. But I don't want to cause a rift in the family or harm my sister-in-law. I feel like now I know I can't get a dog and I'm gutted. Oh dear, as if the issue of children and dogs wasn't fraught enough already, let's throw in family members, illness and childcare issues. Oh, I repeat, oh dear. Okay, cards on the table. Thinking back to when I was unhappily dogless in my 30s, I don't think there was much that would have stopped me getting a dog. I love my sister-in-law. Correction, I love both my sisters-in-law. But I would have had to put my own need for a dog above their needs, to be honest. I would be quite willing to compromise and promise to always wear fresh clothes, which the dog hadn't touched when I met them, so I wouldn't risk putting dog hair on them. But I could not just have never had a dog. Could you never have had a dog? If the poster here doesn't work, if the sister-in-law can't look after the children in their own home if there's a resident dog, I guess that's more of an inconvenience than a disaster. But I am aware that if the sister-in-law's asthma can hospitalise her, it's a really serious issue, and we'd have to make sure we didn't expose her at all to dog hair. I think I would be asking the husband why he hadn't ever mentioned the sister's dog-related asthma, and I'd be involving him in negotiations with his family to hopefully ensure things went smoothly. So this is difficult, but I think, as long as you take the sister-in-law's needs into account, nobody can expect you to stay dogless for the rest of your life. What do you think? Have you not got a dog because of a family member, or have you found a middle ground to keep everyone happy? If a man aspires towards a righteous life, his first act of abstinence is from injury to animals. Albert Einstein. Let's talk puppies now. I do think about myself as my dog's mum, or as grandma to Jenny's dogs. And I think about that not in a silly, fluffy way, but because I see my role as that of a parent, because I am responsible for my dog's health, happiness, education, entertainment, exercise and love, all things we're responsible for our children. So why wouldn't I see myself as my dog's mum? Our next poster, whose username is Dog Dad, found that some people don't like this approach. Dog Dad asks on Reddit, AITA for saying, come to dad, to my puppy. I got a puppy a few months ago. He's coming up to 5 months old soon. He's been difficult, but he makes me the happiest I've been since I can remember. I used to think calling yourself dad or mum to your dog was a bit cringe, but I never had a problem with it otherwise. When I first got him, my mother would always tell him to go to dad. Brackets, she also loves calling herself grandma too, lol. Or just generally call me dad to him. It began sticking with my whole family, so they began saying it too. It's slowly grown on me, and he responds to it, so I found myself doing it too. My friend was over yesterday. We were catching up over coffee, since she recently went on a trip with her boyfriend. We were in the backyard, enjoying our coffees, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw my pup nearly catch a bird. I shout out to him, no, come to dad, before he can go after more of the birds that are flying away. My friend got pissy over this and said it's disrespectful to parents and that just because I have a dog doesn't make me a parent. I tried explaining that I know it's nothing like having a child and it's just habit at this point, but she was having none of it, so I dropped the subject. She left shortly later. I have to say, I feel quite strongly about this one. So, first off, it's none of the friend's business what you call yourself to your dog. I'm happy to debate the issue with anyone who wants to, but I truly believe that if we see ourselves as dog and pet parents, it encourages us to nurture them and give them the best quality of life. And isn't that a positive thing? But this is a sensitive area. Wanting children and not wanting children is a personal and a huge issue. Some of us desperately want children and can't have them. Some have unintentional pregnancies. Some struggle with the demands of parenthood. It's an emotional minefield. So I would never call myself mom in front of someone who was going to be triggered by it. Equally, I wouldn't expect them to want to dictate my private interactions with my dog. So I don't think Dog Dad has done anything wrong here. I see pet parenthood as a force for good. But I do think it's an area we need to be very aware of the sensitivities involved. You're listening to Dogcast Radio on www.dogcastradio.com. I spotted another really interesting news story which I wanted to share with you. How and why dogs became domesticated is part of the mystery of the enduring partnership between our two species. Ultimately, I'm just happy that we and dogs became so entwined, however we managed to achieve that. But a headline caught my eye that dogs may have domesticated themselves because they really liked snacks, model suggests. Archaeological evidence indicates that dogs evolved from grey wolves, originally between about 30,000 and 50,000 years ago. And that was when the first early dogs appeared and lived alongside humans. Then, from 15,000 years ago until now, humans selected from those early dogs and deliberately bred them to become different breeds. Obviously, our ancestors were breeding to meet their own needs, but what drove that earlier initial domestication? Previous research has suggested that humans must have controlled and steered that process for it to happen in that relatively short, evolutionarily speaking, timescale. But this new research used statistical models and took into consideration the dogs involved making their own choices over their lifestyle and their mate. So if a dog who already had an inclination to tolerate humans in order to eat their leftovers mated with a dog who was equally tolerant of humans, the puppies would be even more predisposed to be human-friendly. And I know this isn't what they would have looked like, but I'm picturing Labradors here because of their friendly nature and their love of food. In my head, the scene is early humans gathered around the fire or sheltering in their caves, surrounded by a pack of Labradors. Well, Labs will do anything for food, even put up with pesky humans. As an aside, how different would humans have been if cats had been domesticated first instead of dogs? And how would that have changed cats? And how would dogs have developed differently? I can while away hours thinking about that kind of thing, usually at 2 o'clock in the morning when I can't sleep. From the origins of dogs now to how modern technology is helping them. three-legged pit bull, Tryler, was taken to Southampton Animal Shelter Foundation in Hampton Bay, New York, 2 years ago, and attempts to fit her with a prosthetic leg have failed because nothing fitted well enough. When teenager Sarah Barrows, school counsellor, presented her with the challenge of creating a prosthetic leg for Tryler, Sarah rose to the challenge and 3D printed and fitted an effective, comfortable prosthetic. Tryler is currently waiting at the shelter for her forever person, and hopefully having that prosthetic will help her chances of adoption. And I love the fact that many of us now have access to 3D printers and we can achieve this kind of thing, which a few years ago would have been beyond most of us. And I think we'll end on that hopeful note. I'll just add that Jenny and I are off very soon to Crufts, and I can't wait to be part of that celebration of everything dog and to sniff out some fun stories for you. I'll be footsore but happy after exploring all the halls and arenas, and of course I'll be covered in dog hair and quite possibly slobber. Bring it on, I can't wait. Onwards and upwards. And until next time, look after yourselves and your dogs. Thanks for listening to Dogcast Radio, available from www.dogcastradio.com. That's dogcastradio.com. If you'd like to get in touch with us, and wherever you are in the world, we'd love to hear from you. You can do so in a variety of ways. You can contact us on Skype with the ident Dogcast Radio. That's all one word, Dogcast Radio. By email, you can contact me on julie@dogcastradio.com. When contacting us by email, if you have the facilities, please record your questions or comments and send them to us as an audio file. That way we can include them directly in our programme. We can accept most formats, for example, WAV, MP3. All these methods of contacting us can be found on our website, which is www.dogcastradio.com. Oh, my friend has had to shut down their dog walking business. It's really sad. They've had to call in the retrievers.